This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we're talking about a fascinating new paradigm in integrative medicine. It's mast cell activation syndrome, more popularly referred to as histamine intolerance. Our guest, Dr. Tanya Dempsey. Dr. Dempsey is the medical director of her own practice in Armonk, New York, Armonk Integrative Medicine. Can you give us some details on that practice for listeners who are interested in consulting you?
Yeah, absolutely. So it is a consultative practice. Again, integrative, meaning that we are, we do integrate Western and Eastern, but we also medicine, but we also look, we're looking at the root cause. So I would say that my specialty really is treating patients who are chronically ill, who really don't have answers and want to hunt it down and get some help and relief. And so I spend a lot of time with my patients trying to get those answers for them.
Great. And it's on the web?
It's on the web. We do a variety of different types of treatments. We definitely use supplements. We do IV therapy. And we're now introducing a couple of new types of therapies, IV, that are exciting. And, you know, we'll be able to share that with everybody soon. So, yeah, you can find the information on the web, Facebook and Twitter and all those types of social media outlets.
Great. So, you know, coming back to the subject of histamine intolerance, mast cell activation syndrome. I have analogized the treatment of this to the way that you might address an overflowing bathtub. You know, say your bathtub is overflowing, and there's two ways to fix it. I mean, the analogy is that the overflow means that you're producing an abundance of histamine and other irritative substances. So how do you quell that? Well, number one, you turn off the faucet. And number two, you pull the plug, you know, to empty the tub. And so I think you could probably list the ways in which you turn off the faucet and the ways that you can pull the plug, because both are important in addressing this. Am I on the right track?
Yeah, that's a great analogy. And so I think that what's become very popular in the media is looking at the histamine part of this, and that's why that's become so popular, is because if you can block the histamine, and that is really, I think, probably comparable to what you're talking about is shutting off the faucet, you're just kind of blocking some things, but that's going to make a big difference. And you can affect that histamine level, block histamine's effects by a variety of different ways. And that's where the diet comes in. That's where some of the natural supplements come in. There's a lot you actually can do to suppress histamine, but it doesn't get to the root cause. The mast cells are still exploding. And so you do need to find out why they're exploding and get those triggers under control. You got to figure out the triggers and you got to stop them. But the histamine piece of it is probably the easiest. And so that is, again, going back to the food component, there are lots of foods that have histamines themselves. So that's just going to add more water to the bathtub. And so, you know, right off the bat, you have to reduce that.
Hey, but Dr. then there Dempsey, are other, you know, what I've noticed is that, you know, we often put patients through a simple elimination diet. We'll say, you know, get up to the typical allergens, try a wheat-free, dairy-free diet. And some patients will come back and say, you know, I'm somewhat better. And then we may even do allergy tests. And we say, well, oh, you know, you're allergic to eggs, you're allergic to this. But the patients who have this condition are very elusive. They may be sensitive not to the foods themselves that show up on the immune tests, but to some component in the food, i.e. histamine, or that these foods somehow facilitate the production of histamine. It's actually several categories of food seem to be doing that. And some of these foods are very fresh, wholesome, natural foods. Paradoxically, it's not like, you know, oh, I've eliminated all the junk in my diet. I'm still having terrible symptoms.
Right.
That's part of the paradox, right?
No, absolutely. But we do have lists of foods that we know liberate histamine and just release it, and that we know they're foods that are rich in histamine themselves. But what I have found with these patients is that sometimes the food is not on any list. But to them, there's something about it that their mast cell doesn't like, and mm-hmm. it could be completely innocuous. It could be something like they ate a piece of steak. And you think, well, what's in that steak? And so it could be the steak was aged, and the aging process actually brings out more histamines. It could be that there's just something about the beef to them is going to cause a problem. So that's where it gets really elusive, because it's nice when we have some lists, but it doesn't necessarily cover the gamut for the individual patient.
What I meant by pulling the plug is that there is a unique substance that actually helps the body to purge itself of histamine, and that's something called DAO. Can you explain what that is?
Yep. Yeah, so DAO is a diamine oxidase, and it is an enzyme that's found in the gut, and it's really an enzyme that digests down histamine, and it can be so powerful and so helpful for a variety of reasons, because not only is it digesting down food that has high histamines, it's also any foods that have been liberating histamine from mast cells is going to break down. And so I feel like patients can use it in a variety of ways. They can use it preventatively if they know they're going to eat something, or actually as a treatment if they already know they have high histamines. And what's really fascinating about it is that it's in the gut, so it definitely makes sense that it would help some of the gut symptoms that a lot of these patients have, the bloating, the irritable bowel stuff. But what's interesting is that histamine in the gut probably has more far-reaching effects into the body. And so some of my patients who don't have any digestive issues, when they take the DAO, it actually helps some of their neurologic symptoms or their pain syndromes like migraine or interstitial cystitis. So I think that this is an area that hasn't been completely explored, but the diamine oxidase enzyme can be taken as a supplement, right? So it's powerful, but this is an enzyme that we all should have in our body. There are certain things that lower the amount of our own enzyme. And so sometimes we need that extra.
And perhaps there's a hereditary component that some people are deficient in DAO, or perhaps through some health condition or life experience, their production has been compromised.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And there are genetic SNPs for those who are doing 23andMe analysis. There are mutations in the DAO gene that can affect its production. And then just there are certain conditions that we know change DAO levels depending on, you know, the disease. So again, I do think that is helpful. But it's still what I consider a Band-Aid to the problem, because it's really only affecting histamine. And for patients who don't have as much of a histamine issue but have the other chemicals that are released from the histamine, that's where it starts to get complicated, because it's not necessarily going to help. We need to still kind of get to that root, which is, you know, what else is making these mast cells explode, and let's stop it.
And that would be not just foods, but also potential environmental challenges, inhalants, toxins, and so on, viruses, bacteria, parasites, yeast.
Exactly. And so that's part of the testing that I do at my center, is really kind of, again, looking at these triggers. And there are often many in each patient, but looking for bacterial infections. We see Lyme disease as a very common trigger for this. Mm-hmm. The other thing we're seeing a lot of is mold toxicity, mold illness. And mold is really a problem in this part of the world and country. And so mold does, and funguses in general, trigger the mast cells to activate. So, you know, we'll look at all those things. And again, getting to the root cause means you got to treat, you know, what the problem is. And if you're in a moldy apartment, for instance, just moving from that apartment can make a big difference. The mast cells have a chance to you know, recuperate.
As we've learned from several of our guests recently here on Intelligent Medicine, they've had mysterious illnesses that turned out to be mold-related.
Yeah.
Dr. Dempsey, let's pause for a moment because we want to acknowledge one of our great sponsors. So here goes. This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally, and it's so effective it works for 9 in 10 people. The Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call toll-free 888-408-6141. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you can get $50 off and free shipping. Just use the coupon code Hoffman at checkout at tryzona.com. Thanks for listening, and now let's get back to our subject of how to deal with histamine intolerance, or more comprehensively, MCAS, mast cell activation syndrome. Our guest, Dr. Tanya Dempsey. And Dr. Dempsey, a lot of people looking for news they can use, supplements mm-hmm. that might help to keep this under control. Mm-hmm. You like several, so why don't you share your favorites?
Yeah. So as we mentioned, the diamine oxidase supplement is, you know, can be incredibly useful. The other supplement that we should definitely mention is quercetin. Quercetin is an antioxidant, and it is often found with vitamin C. There are many supplements that have them both or alone. And vitamin C, by the way, also combined with quercetin, both have an effect on histamine levels and actually stabilizing these mast cells. So quercetin is very powerful. It's actually been studied against some pharmacological treatments and have been found to be the same or better than the drugs we have out there. So what I love about quercetin is that it's not just blocking the histamine, which you need for some symptomatic relief, but we've got to kind of get this to stop. And so the quercetin does, we call it stabilize, you know, affect that mast cell so that it's not releasing its contents all the time. And it really does can have a dramatic effect. It's worth noting, though, that many patients with mast cell activation syndrome are sensitive to even the supplements that could help them. So I've learned that while quercetin is a great antioxidant for lots of things and can help with mast cells, many patients have the opposite effect. And it could be because there's an ingredient mixed with the quercetin that's causing them to react, or it could be the quercetin itself. And so, you know, it's a little bit of trial and error and working with your doctor to try to figure out what's going to be right for you.
Welcome to my world. You know, we often, as mm-hmm. integrative doctors, prescribe exactly the right stuff, only to learn that our patients, you know, have idiosyncratic reactions, and what's supposed to work doesn't always work. It's a complex
Correct.
Field of medicine, but
Correct.
It's great that you're attuned to that. Sulforaphane is an interesting substance. We talk about it in relationship to cancer prevention.
Yeah.
One of my favorite products is called Oncoplex, which suggests that it's for oncology, but mm-hmm. it turns out to have an application here as well. Can you explain?
Oh yeah, well, Oncoplex is a great product, and we use it too in the practice. And it is this broccoli seed extract that's been studied at Johns Hopkins, my alma mater, and they've done some really incredible research. And the research now spans from prostate cancer to now things like autoimmunity and mast cell disease. And so the thing about sulforaphane is that derivative from the broccoli seed extract is that it modulates the immune system. And so the thing about mast cell activation syndrome is that it really is, in a sense, an autoimmune problem, because you are attacking your own body through this the activation and the release of these chemicals. And so sulforaphane can help modulate the immune system and can sort of dampen down some of that reactivity. It also is, well, it's immune modulating in that it also helps to support the immune system. And so we'll use it a lot for inflammation and also for just infections to help the immune system fight them. So it's really just an incredible compound.
And speaking of inflammation, the king of anti-inflammatories, natural anti-inflammatories, curcumin, finds application here as well.
Yeah, well, you know what I love is that there are lots of herbs that either you can use regularly at home to cook with or in teas or whatever that actually can have a great effect on mast cells and histamine. And curcumin is derived from turmeric. And lots of people now use turmeric in cooking. And turmeric is so powerful. It's an antioxidant. And it really does have, in clinical studies now, looking at and some various types of studies using rats and mice, and now more clinical studies looking at its effects on mast cell mediated responses. And they've looked at it in allergies, and now they're looking at it in this realm of the activation that is not allergic. It's anti-inflammatory across the board, and does help to stop the release of these various irritating chemicals. So we use curcumin a lot in a variety of different ways, but in the mast cell world, it's at the top of the list with quercetin probably.
Are there any medicinal foods, foods that are particularly good for these types of patients?
You know, what's interesting is that there's literature on this. Watercress, which is, I guess, related to arugula, does have some antihistamine properties. Capers are very high in quercetin, and so that may be something to incorporate. Ginger is a great herb and root, actually. It stabilizes mast cells, and it actually blocks histamine receptors in the gut. So it's often used for things like nausea and GI problems, and that's probably because of the mast cell issue in the gut, and the ginger can get there and block it. So you can make a ginger tea. You know, I love that, where you take a little piece of the root of the ginger, and you grate it, and you pour some hot water on it, and you drink it, and that can be, you know, a antihistamine and mast cell stabilizer, all in one.
Great. It's home remedy. So also there, you know, some traditional vitamins like vitamin D have an impact on autoimmunity and immune regulation.
Yeah. And there's a lot of talk on vitamin D, and I think that those of us in the integrative world have been talking about vitamin D for years, because the immune system is regulated by it. It's a hormone, and as a hormone, it has such far-reaching effects. So I feel like if I'm going to treat patients who have immune issues, who probably have some underlying problems with their immune system from infections, from parasites, bacteria, fungus, and all that, then I have to make sure I protect them with vitamin D. Of course, I'm going to check their blood levels, because I'd like to follow that and make sure they're not on too much or too little. But I do think that vitamin D is an important supplement to include.
Indeed, do we have evidence that omega-3 fatty acids are helpful here? Can they quell the inflammation? They seem to be helpful for many other types of inflammation.
Yeah, I think that, you know, many of these patients, so it's not going, let me go back a little bit, it's not really going to necessarily block histamine, and it's not going to directly affect mast cells. But again, these patients are very inflamed, and they have increased risk of cardiovascular issues because of the mast cells or because of other chronic issues that they have. And so, I'm going to use, you know, omega-3s to also support their heart. I'm going to support their nervous system. We know that our cell membranes need, and our nerves need, some of the key fats that are found in omega-3s. And so I think that that's just an important part of the healing process.
And Dr. Dempsey, there's an intersection between this and another relatively new paradigm that's kind of revolutionizing our approach to complex patients, which is methylation, you know, having to do with adequacy of B vitamins and genetic susceptibilities to poor methylation. Is there a link between that and these types of syndromes, MCAS?
You know, I think the link right now is really specifically maybe to the histamine portion of it. We know that there are some genetic polymorphisms, genetic sort of mutations that affect how people metabolize their B vitamins, B12, folic acid, and the like. And so we know that if they have these mutations that affect the processing of the of these B vitamins, the processing really does include this methylation process. And so if they can't do that with their B vitamins, then they are going to have more difficulty processing histamine. So what's important to note is that histamine can be metabolized in the body by two mechanisms. So our body has that DAO, diamine oxidase enzyme, that can digest it down. Or the histamine has to be methylated with this methyl group so that the body can then put it through the rest of the metabolic processes until it's eliminated out of the body. So if there's either not enough DAO or a problem with methylation, then the histamine levels are going to rise and cause a lot of these symptoms that we've been talking about. So supporting methylation, understanding the genetics of it is important, and then supporting it with the right B vitamins and methyl support supplements can be very helpful at managing the histamine part of this.
I hope your listeners are getting the flavor for the complexity of this and the types of deliberations that go on in our heads mm-hmm. as we confront challenging patients. Can you give us a thumbnail sketch? I mean, not a long discourse, but mm-hmm. A quick profile of a patient who, under your care, has benefited from this approach.
Oh, absolutely. I have a patient who has interstitial cystitis. I mentioned that earlier, and has had itchy skin forever, has known that every spring she feels worse because she has these allergy symptoms, but she's often noted that her interstitial cystitis and her fibromyalgia are worse in the spring. Mm-hmm. And when we finally...
That's an important clue, right? That starts to raise your suspicion right away.
Exactly. It's like, well, what is it about the spring? Well, if she has an allergy to pollen, her mast cells are going to be more reactive there, and they're going to be reacting and irritating, causing that pain syndrome. And she already has not just allergy, but her mast cells are already more reactive. And so it took a while to sort of figure that out. But once we figured it out, she now knows before the spring comes, she already has everything on board. She has her diamine oxidase, the DAO, that she's using before her meals. Then she also has the other support, and we've used some pharmacologic things with her. We sometimes have to use what are called H1 or H2 blockers, mm-hmm. histamine blockers. So we'll have to use an antihistamine, Claritin, Zyrtec, Allegra. Sometimes we have to use Pepcid or Zantac, mm-hmm. which are H2 blockers. And so if we figure out all the different things that she needs, she notices that there's a huge improvement. And there's no question, for the first time in her life, and she's had probably interstitial cystitis for 20 to 30 years, now it's controllable. And that's life-changing, because it got to the point where she could hardly eat anything because she didn't even know what she was reacting to and was causing an increase in her symptoms. So, this is becoming, like I said, I think more common than we can imagine, mast cell activation. And now I'm seeing that 90% plus of my patients have some could benefit from addressing the mast cells at some level.
Well, that's great. Where can listeners learn more about this? What's our take-home message for today?
Well, so there are some good websites out there. There's a great book that is a little complex, but is written by really the pioneer in mast cell activation research. It's Dr. Lawrence Afrin. He's at the University of Minnesota, and he's written a book, Don't Bet Against Occam. And it is really a compilation of his life's work. It's cases in there describing, you know, how he's approached this disease. So he's really a prolific author and researcher and physician. And I do recommend that book as a start. And then hopefully my own book will be coming out shortly.
Oh, great. We'll get you back on for that. You're sure to do a reprise with us. It's Don't Bet Against.
Thank you.
What was the last word?
Occam, O-C-C-M, and it's like based on Occam's razor.
Yeah, that's a sort of a philosophical paradigm where, you know, it's helps you make a decisive determination of an outcome. You know, it's a science term.
Right.
We're talking science here. Yeah.
Well, if we think about it, in medical school, you know, we were taught to try to find a way to integrate all the different things that patients were presenting with. So if they had hypertension, if they had high cholesterol, you would start to think about, you know, is there a route between all of them? Mm-hmm. And then I think we've sort of lost that a little bit. And so now we as a community in medicine, you know, have felt that we can just use these diagnoses alone. And that's not helping the patient because treating their hypertension.
For the high blood pressure, one drug for cholesterol,
correct.
One drug for diabetes, and on it goes.
Exactly. So this is a way of understanding that they're probably all related. And so he believes that mast cell activation really is what ties it all together.
Right. It's Occam's razor. And that's, look it up because that's a philosophical term in science. Well, I want to congratulate you for your wonderful work and for
Thank
the
you.
Great way that you share it with the public and with health professionals. I've learned a lot from you. And today, you know, every time we talk, it's a new revelation.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Tanya Dempsey. Her practice is in Armonk, New York. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Pleasure is mine.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.